in the limelight.
The Republican Party in Florida has suspended its chairman, Christian Ziegler, and demanded his resignation during an emergency meeting on Sunday, 17th of December, adding to calls by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and other top officials for him to step down as police investigates a rape accusation against Ziegler. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. The Republican Party of Florida suspended its chairman, Christian Ziegler, and demanded his resignation during an emergency meeting on Sunday, 17th of December, adding to calls by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and other top officials for him to step down as police investigates a rape accusation against him. Christian Ziegler is accused of raping a woman with whom he and his wife, Moms for Liberty co-founder Bridget Ziegler, had a prior relationship, according to police records. Christian Ziegler has engaged in conduct that renders him unfit for the office, the Republican Party's motion to censure Ziegler said, according to a document posted on the social media platform X by Lee County GOP Chairman Michael Thomason. Ziegler tried to defend himself during the closed-door meeting, but the Republican Party board quickly took action against him. Michael Thomason added, "Ziegler on soapbox trying to defend himself is not working. The party's executive committee will hold another vote in the future on whether to remove Christian Ziegler from the Republican Party in Florida." The Sarasota Police Department is investigating the woman's accusation that Christian Ziegler raped her at her apartment in October. Police documents say the woman says Christian Ziegler has assaulted her. Ziegler, meanwhile, has not been charged with a crime and says he is innocent. The accusation also has caused turmoil for his wife, Bridget Ziegler, an elected member of the Sarasota School Board, though she is not accused of any crime. On Tuesday, the school board voted to ask her to resign, but she refused. The couple are well-known members of the Republican Party in Florida. In addition to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Republican Senators Rick Scott and Marco Rubio, and U.S. Representative Matt Gaetz, and Florida's Republican House and Senate leaders have all called for Christian Ziegler's resignation. The website of PBS, the Public Broadcasting Service, has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Republican Party of Florida suspended its chairman, Christian Ziegler, and demanded his resignation during an emergency meeting on Sunday, 17th of December, adding to calls by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and other top officials for him to step down as police investigates a rape accusation against him. Christian Ziegler has engaged in conduct that renders him unfit for office, the Republican Party's motion for censure of Ziegler said, according to documents posted on X. Ziegler tried to defend himself during the closed-door meeting, but the Republican Party board quickly took action against him. Michael Thomason, an official, said, "The party's executive committee will hold another vote in the future on whether to remove Christian Ziegler from office." The Sarasota Police Department is investigating the woman's accusations against Christian Ziegler. According to police documents, Christian Ziegler assaulted the woman. Christian Ziegler has not been charged with a crime as yet and says he's innocent. In addition to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Republican Senators Rick Scott and Marco Rubio and U.S. Representative Matt Gaetz have all called for Christian Ziegler's resignation and removal from office.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You are listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. I'm Atar, the host of this program. This series of Viewpoints is concerned with the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadiq. Sheikh Sadiq, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, very happy to be with you.
You're welcome, brother. And Sheikh Qasim, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, regarding the speeches and the addresses of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Imam Khamenei, regarding human being, we get into the concept of adala. You know, justice or adala is a concept that the religion of Islam in general and the Muslim rulers in specific are mainly concerned with. So, Sheikh Sadr, let's get to you. What are the grounds how this type of justice, I mean divine justice, that we are looking for can be achieved? I mean, what grounds should be established in order to achieve this adala? For example, we're going to prepare a ground for ourselves or from the type of, from the side of the rulers of a society of the Muslim lands. What should they do?
As I said, you know, there's no way except the hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because adala is only achieved through a balance of all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
And the only manifestation, the complete manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is His hujjah. So right now we can just refer to their ahadith, we can refer to Quran, but it's again through our limited lenses. All of our limitations, all of our experiences, where we're born, our culture, all of this colors what we read in the Quran and in the Hadith and everything else. Our place in history, all of this affects that. So we can refer to Hadith that's better than just, you know, thinking without any prerequisite.
Okay.
But it's not going to happen without our Imam. And when we understand this, that's when we pray for Zuhur of Imam Zaman. Like really seriously.
So the outmost example of adala,
yes,
is, you know, will be fulfilled with the, you know, the manifestation of the, you know,
reappearance of Imam Az-Zaman.
Yeah,
Imam
the manifestation of the Allah's attributes, which is the hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
But until then, what is, you know?
Yes, this now, is the question.
Yeah, so
until then, what should we do? Of course, we know that, since the reappearance, inshallah, the Imam is hay, the Imam is alive, okay? He's present among us. He is, as they symbolize it, you know, it's the sun behind the cloud, okay?
Mm-hmm.
His lights and his shining and his rahmah is overshining over us, you know. These are like an umbrella covering all the world. But the case is that till that time, if we want to have a kind of justice system like that one, or at least something,
just
maybe
get closer.
Yeah, keep closer or a picture like
do the
that.
Best
what
we can.
Do? Yes,
right. The best we can is referring to hadith. Imam Zaman said at the beginning of Ghibat Kubra, he said, فَرْجَعُوا إِلَى رُوَاتَ أَحَادِيثَنَا. So we refer to hadith, we refer to fuqaha, we refer to mujtahideen, we refer to waliyya faqih, whoever is in charge of the community of mu'mineen at the time.
Okay.
But that's the best we can do. But we have to keep in mind that this is the limited version.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the original complete version. Substitute. Yes. Yeah.
I think that answer is a good one. When we think about, you know, some question or some challenges, some objections that we may have about the, you know, the way that the Islamic Republic of Iran is now carrying out the justice, because we normally get this a lot that,
yes,
you know, if that is the plan, then what is this? You know,
yes.
So how can we sort of reconcile between that example,
yes,
of, for example, Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam, and the system, the justice system that we've been brought about by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam in the ahadith, and the application that we have been experiencing in the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I think that would be a good
which
answer.
Which is not ideal yet.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
so,
fully achieved, which is not fully achieved.
Yeah. So we are trying our best, you know, to get there. But of course, there are many things, you know, many hindrances, let,
yes,
alone, you know, the
What are those? What are those obstacles, brother, on the way?
Yeah. I believe the most important ones, and as Ayatollah Khamenei, Hafadullah, he himself describes and actually explains, he says that, you know, we have always in front of the justice seekers, we have always the mustakbirin.
Okay.
So there are some people who are trying their best not to allow people and, you know, sort of expand their own reign of, you know, access.
That's right.
Which consequently leads to what? To the, you know, to the narrowness of the scope of other people's freedom. So you know, they are always active, the mustakbirin, the ones that try to get
that's
as
right.
more as possible.
Okay.
So this is one of them. So now in the world, you know, there is no need to say that who, you know, what ideology. I want to really like,
yes,
to call it an ideology. It's
okay.
not just a political
no ideology
movement.
In terms
this
of
this is an
yes,
ideology
okay.
that ideology encompasses the Zionism, the way that
okay.
the United States of America is yes. lead and is governed, and all other, you know, people who have this in common with these sorts of ideologies by you know, by making others withdraw from their
that's
scopes
right.
of freedom
that's
and
right.
then, you know, going on and taking their place.
Sorry, and the sad news is that the Muslim lands are day by day very much becoming similar to the liberal capital system. And this is really the sad news. I mean, if you look at the picture just superficially, it is very beautiful, okay? Beautiful buildings, beautiful houses, luxurious lifestyle. But behind the scene, the rich is becoming richer, the poor is becoming poorer, okay? And this is not the justice or adala that Islam has been looking for, at least what we know from the side of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the other infallible imams. This is very much like the aristocrat system of justice whose Baitul Mal has been changed into a kind of khazana, a treasury fund, and then distributed by the ruler of the king among the people according to their own understanding and their own wishes, and which culminated into many tragedies during the history. But the case is that, reaching this type of adala from one side is very much easy because we have it inside our fitrah, Sheikh Sadiq. From the other side, we have these obstacles on our way. How to manage? Beside referring to ahadith and the verses of the Holy Quran.
That's basically why religion is there.
Okay.
Because the source of all problems is hubb ad-dunya.
Okay.
Different levels of hubb ad-dunya. Hubb ad-dunya ra'su kull khatiyah. Right, so in one lecture I had in this Muharram, I said we have three types of religious people. The first type, the lowest type, are not really religious. They're munafiqeen, basically. They just use the name of the religion to get to the dunya that they want.
Their own goals.
They're using
that's
the
right.
clothing of religion. They're using the appearance of a Muslim or of a mu'min to get to religion. And we have these throughout the history. They're just using religion to get to money, power, wealth, everything else.
Okay.
And then the second type are the common people, the normal mu'mineen. They are Muslim, but they're not super deep into the root of religion. So they don't understand what they're doing.
Okay.
And so the first type, we can see that they are deep into hubb al-dunya.
Yes.
The second type, they just want a peaceful life.
Okay.
They love dunya, but not at the expense of akhirah.
Okay.
But because of their ignorance, because they don't have a correct understanding of religion, they always help the munafiqin.
Okay.
Like never once in history have they helped the third type, the true mu'mineen, yes. Amirul mu'mineen.
Okay.
We can see the munafiqin of the time of the Prophet, how they manipulate the common people,
yes.
The majority of people,
yes.
And take them away from Amirul mu'mineen. And Sayyidah Zahra, salamullah alayha, in Khutbah Fadakiyya, she says, if you had followed Ali alayhi salam, he would just guide you to the true path, to the truth, slowly, slowly, without any pain, without any problems.
That's right.
But the first type, the munafiqeen, scare people away from true mu'mineen and say, no, they are too serious.
Okay.
They're going to take away your dunya. And basically manipulate them because of their ignorance. So
I'm making you play in the same ground. I mean, when I was looking at this Black Lives Matter, you know, after George Floyd was killed by that police officer in the U.S., most of the models and the slogans that you say in the type of adala they are looking for is playing in the same field of liberal capitalism. Again, they are looking for a type of justice that is done in the social boundaries they are living in, very much leading into a kind of bodily, physical joys. Not more than that, okay? But this type of spiritual look at the top of divinity. But, you know, the third group that you talked about, true faithful Muslims, are not many, brother.
Yeah.
The true helpers of Imam Asr, okay?
You have to know their forces and their vision. Their vision is educating people, bringing people up.
Okay.
The sole thing they think about...
Even justice or adala can be taught, you mean?
Yeah, of course. Like,
okay.
Because we're ignorant of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we're ignorant of the place of everything, the appropriate place for everything.
Yes.
You said that if everything is in its place.
In its place, that's right.
That's justice, right?
Okay.
We don't know the place.
Yeah.
We think this is the place,
okay.
Right? So our efforts go the wrong way. And if someone comes and educates us about the right way, about the balance of the world, then we can... find it in our heart,
yes.
Because that's fitrah, right?
Yeah, how much do we know the places? How much do we know the places, brother?
Unfortunately, no. The
I mean, knowing the place is important,
yeah.
Okay?
We
do not know that. We know how to fill our fridge, okay? With different types of fruits, flesh,
yeah.
Chicken, flesh, or something like that. But what about the places of different things in our life, okay?
First of all, we have to know, we have to come to this awareness that many of the places that we are recognizing that the places of those things are not right.
Oh.
This is very important. And the reason is that unfortunately this era that we're living in is the era of media. So whatever they want to feed you,
yes.
With the, you know, the misinformation about the places of things, and this is exactly what you mentioned, that, you know, based on liberalism, you have, you know, some special and some very narrow-minded, you know, places being designated to things.
Yes.
So when we're talking about the justice of, I don't know, human beings, they you know, right away their mind goes to, you know, the equality of women and men.
Yes.
Or, I don't know.
Or
the
payments.
Equality of, yeah.
The payments or wages.
Yeah. So,
okay.
But this is not the way that, if you go beyond what we've been taught by the media, by the, you know, by the dominant media that, unfortunately, the ones that are governing the media, they
yes.
own the media, are exactly the ones that are trying to strip the you know, the justice from its reality and
that's
from
right.
you know, the essence, the real true essence of it. So the first thing is that we have to become so suspicious about the media, and you know, as my brother said, one of the ways of education is not just by words. So those, you know, people of God, those elect people, we can, you know, they are the examples, the life models of human beings. So by following them, even though that we may not in all details know what they do or what is the reason that they're doing that action, but by following their model and their footsteps, I think that would be a very good step for
some people. Might doubt this, that the media is a new phenomena, you know, in the last century, but the satanic temptations have always existed during the history. I mean, the type of medium was working out at the time of and its proper place. But the case is that, as you said, we have to refer to our very fitra.
Yeah.
This is, but I think the people in the world and all this justice judicial system are very much concerned with the nature rather than the fitra. And this is the make differentiation. I mean by nature is the physical boundaries and the physical capacities that exist all around us. But if we kind of refer to our very soul and the fitra, then we can find, I think, the true meaning of justice. And then our look at the world will be very much different.
Yeah.
Maybe the places that we consider for the things around might be changed a lot. Thank you very much, Sheikh Qasem and Sheikh Sadeq. For your presence in the program Viewpoints, it was very kind of you. We tried to discuss justice, adala, and seeking justice based on the viewpoints of the supreme leader of Iran, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. It was very kind of you, Sheikh Qasem.
Pleasure.
And Sheikh Sadeq.
Thank you very much. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. For more information, visit our website, apostolate.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Fi amanallah. Assalamu alaikum, ya Abu Abdullah.
Inside, I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, how about listening to a thought-provoking words from the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, regarding the lofty epithets in the divine court of his most noble ancestress, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Fatima has 9 names near Allah the Exalted. These are Sadiqa, or the Most Truthful, Mubarakah, or the Blessed, Tahira, or the Spotlessly Pure, Zakiya, or the Pristinely Chaste, Razia al-Marziya, or the One who is gratified and contented with God's will, Muhaddasa, or the Lady to whom angels speak, and Zahra, or the Most Radiant.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Iran and Iraq.
Throughout history, West Asia has remained a focal point of global significance, both in ancient times and in the modern era. Its distinctive geopolitical position, situated between three continents, along with its abundant natural resources, has made it susceptible to exploitation by both foreign and domestic actors due to their greed. Over the course of the last 50 years, significant occurrences have taken place in the region, resulting in substantial transformations. Iraq played a role in some of these events. However, its citizens were often the most adversely affected. These incidents trace back to the emergence of Saddam Hussein as a prominent figure in a nation characterized by frequent violent coups. Through a gradual process, Saddam gained authority over the various branches of the Iraqi government, eventually rising to the position of president in a quasi-white coup against President Ahmed Hassan al-Bakr in the middle of 1979. Shortly after taking power, he initiated a campaign of elimination and execution against his fellow members of the Ba'ath Party, known as the Mohol Massacre in later years. While Saddam was ascending to power in Iraq, a significant Islamic revolution, led by Imam Khomeini, was underway in Iran, located to the east of Iraq, which succeeded in toppling the Shah's government and ending four decades of his rule. The United States suffered a significant setback when it lost the Shah as a crucial ally in a sensitive region that safeguarded its interests. Moreover, the transformation of the Israeli embassy in Tehran to the world's first Palestinian embassy posed a direct challenge to the Americans. The actions taken by Iran posed a threat to the American objective of resolving the Palestinian issue, as demonstrated by Egypt's neutralization of the Arab-Israeli conflict through the Camp David Treaty of 1978. This caused considerable Arab dissatisfaction and placed the entire Palestinian cause in jeopardy. As a result, the Islamic Revolution infused fresh energy into the Palestinian movement.
Is the Palestinian resistance feeling stronger now she is backed by Iran?
Definitely, it changed completely the whole strategic policy in this area.
In case of a war...
Upside down completely.
Saddam Hussein perceived the triumph of the Islamic Revolution in Iran as a significant threat to his authority in Iraq, a nation where the majority of the population are Shia. Saddam became more afraid because there was a strong Islamic movement led by Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr happening in Iraq. During that period, there was significant tension in Iranian-American relations due to the reception of the Shah in the United States. This prompted a group of Iranian students to forcefully enter the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and take its employees hostage. They demanded that the U.S. government surrender the Shah to the Iranian authorities.
The American Embassy in Tehran is in the hands of Muslim students tonight. Spurred on by an anti-American speech by the Ayatollah Khomeini, they stormed the embassy, fought the Marine Guards for 3 hours, overpowered them, and took dozens of American hostages. The students want the deposed Shah returned to Iran for trial.
The Iranian Republic was the most important independent state in the region and would be
would be a cause of concern for them. And the only state that, for example, Iran, that had kicked out the US embassy and keeps it out to this day, has no diplomatic relationships, turned the old US embassy into a museum, effectively. No other state in the world has done that.
Imam Khomeini endorsed the students' movement and their demands, particularly after the discovery of several confidential documents within the embassy that revealed American involvement in conspiring against the Islamic Revolution. The Americans attempted a military operation to rescue the embassy hostages, but it resulted in a disastrous failure.
There was no sign that any other craft landed. Only two planes and six helicopters here then. The crash happened later. It was to result in the devastation of one of the massive transport planes and one of the helicopters. The reverse thrust of the plane's huge propellers blowing sand forward around the cockpit in pitch darkness may have persuaded the pilot that he'd passed the last helicopter. The molten aluminium marked the intense heat of the blaze which followed, so intense that no American could get near to drag clear the bodies in the wreckage.
It must be made clear that the failure to release the hostages will involve increasingly heavy costs to Iran and to its interests.
The US Americans faced a dilemma after the Iranian Revolution in 1979. They had lost their major collaborator in the region, the Shah. They now faced an independent state, which was quite weak to start with. But they had a collaborator in Iraq who'd come to power recently, Saddam Hussein, who was, for his own ambitions, prepared to be used as a tool against the new republic in Iran. The US Americans will use any technique they can to divide people, to control regions. I mean, they toyed with different ideas, Persians against Arabs, and they settled on this Sunni versus Shia to inflame what was a pre-existing division, but not necessarily a conflictual division, basically.
The expansionist aspirations of Saddam aligned with the interests of the Americans as he intensified his aggression towards the Islamic Republic by annulling the border agreement signed by himself and the Shah in 1975. On September 22, 1980, just 5 days after nullifying the border agreement, Saddam Hussein commenced a substantial war against the newly formed Islamic Republic, with backing from the West and its Persian Gulf allies. There was a global apathy towards the Iraqi invasion of Iran. 6 days following the commencement of the attack, Resolution No. 479 was released. The wording of the resolution was insipid and conspicuously lacked firmness, as it only called for a ceasefire and the commencement of negotiations. It appeared to be an American retaliation against Iran via the United Nations.
I share the view and the fear expressed yesterday by the Secretary General that this conflict could have serious and unpredictable consequences. And I echo his call for a negotiated settlement.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States. And will
to the. When Ronald Reagan became president after Jimmy Carter, his administration significantly increased military and security aid to Saddam's war effort. This included providing weapons, chemical ammunition, information, and billions of dollars throughout the war. France, Germany, and other Western allies of the United States were also involved in supplying weapons and equipment to Saddam Hussein's regime. The The Western countries also assisted Saddam in producing 6,000 tons of chemical bombs, which he extensively used against civilians in Iran and Iraqi Kurds. Especially during the Anfal War in 1988 in Halabja. The war between Iran and Iraq stands as one of the most devastating conflicts of the late 20th century, resulting in over a million casualties and more than $300 billion in material losses for both sides. On July 18, 1988, Iran declared its acceptance of UN Security Council Resolution 598, which called for an end to the war.
To observe a ceasefire and to discontinue all military action on land, at sea, and in the air, as of 0300 hours EMT.
Due to receiving support from both the East and the West, Saddam's army emerged from the war well-equipped with modern weaponry, but his country suffered a severe economic collapse. With no other options available, Saddam was compelled to invade Kuwait, the same country that had supported him during the war against Iran, in order to prevent his regime from collapsing due to bankruptcy. On August 2, 1990, Saddam Hussein commanded his troops to invade and take over Kuwait, resulting in the rapid capture of the country by the invading forces.
In the later on, then Saddam started to exert some type of independent influence, and they regarded him as a collaborator who had gone rogue effectively, and like they did with the former head of Panama, General Manuel Noriega, they decided to get rid of their collaborator. This is the fate of collaborators everywhere. So when Saddam invaded Kuwait, they got a force together to expel him from Kuwait. They thought that he was getting too ambitious.
The seizure of Kuwait allowed the United States to establish a more direct presence in the Middle East. To prepare for the liberation of Kuwait, the U.S. deployed hundreds of thousands of soldiers, a move that would have significant long-term consequences for Iraq and its people.
Iraq itself controls some 10% of the world's proven oil reserves. Iraq plus Kuwait controls twice that. We cannot permit a resource so vital to be dominated by one so ruthless, and we won't.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. In this episode, we're going to look at the high status of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her.
Daughter of the Nabi, Lady Fatima, the wife of Ali.
Today, Tuesday, is the 5th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Azar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of December, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is verses 8 to 9 of chapter Insan.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa yut'imuna at-ta'ama 'ala hubbihi miskinan wa yatiman wa asira.
And they give food in spite of love for it to the needy, the orphan and the captive.
إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا.
Saying, we feed you only for the countenance of Allah. We wish not from you reward or gratitude.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
We understand from the verse that one of the best acts is feeding the poor and the needy. Not only those of Muslims, but also the poor and the needy from other territories, and even pagans are included as a matter of Islamic routine. It is so important that feeding them is considered one of the prominent good deeds of the righteous. And the occasion of the revelation of this verse refers to the famous story of the sacrifice of Imam Ali, Lady Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, peace be upon them, that they gave their own for 3 consecutive days to the poor, the needy, and the captive.
Ya Fatima al-Zahra, ya binta Muhammad. استشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا
يا وجيها عند الله اشفعي لنا.
In this part, the high status of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Lady Fatima, the only daughter of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family, is a role model for all people in all times. When we reflect on her life, we see that she played a crucial role in spreading the message of Islam. The period when she was marching through the lifetime of the Prophet was a time when she had an impact on everyone, on parents and especially on fathers of the day when they saw the Prophet's behavior with her. When we put these all together, the generosity of Ahlul Bayt, the patience turning towards Allah, helping others, forbearance, and the morality between a husband and a wife, we can see the life of the Lady Fatima, which was so simple and built on love, partnership, piety, and focus on serving the needs of others generally, rather than just the needs of individual. That is why after 1400 years, different people are still impressed by her life and personality.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. In this first session, we shall be talking about the importance of Fatimiyya and the effect of the whole existence of Lady Fatima, salamullah alayha, in the world of Shi'ism and the importance of the mourning and Azadari and Lady Fatima Salam Allah Alayha. What has been proven by historical documents is that the Imam, the infallible Imams and the Shi'as mourned the martyrdom of Lady Fatima Salam Allah Alayha. But due to special circumstances and the atmosphere of suffocation during the during their lifetime, and the lifetime of those pure infallible Imams, mourning was not performed. The sufferings of the noble lady of Islam did not have a public aspect. It is narrated from Sayyid al-Shahada, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, that his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amir al-Mu'min Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, mourned Fatima in this way. Imam Husayn alayhi salam says and reports this from the way that Imam Ali alayhi salam was mourning. Imam Ali alayhi salam was saying on her martyrdom that I was lamenting over this great calamity like a mother who lost a child. O Messenger of God, in the presence of God, your daughter was secretly buried. Her right was taken by force and she was obviously deprived of her inheritance. These mournings have continued during the time of all infallible Imams. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Now we have a beautiful lesson from the epic life of Lady Fatima to pray for the well-being of others before yourself. Imam al-Hasan narrates that he would hear his mother late at night praying for all the believing men and women without praying for herself. Upon asking her why, Fatima said, "O my son, the neighbor first and then the house." This is a crucial lesson for us living in the modern world. With the rise of individualism, we may sometimes forget to care for our neighbors and community members. It is essential for us to follow the message of Fatima and pray for the well-being of the Muslim Ummah.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah.
At this part, we have the love of Fatima Zahra, also known as Siddiqatul Kubra, is the great blessing for us. This is a short speech of Ayatollah Khamenei on the personality of Lady Fatima. In her short life, Fatima Zahra achieved the position of the mistress of all women. In other words, she is superior to all great and saintly women throughout history. What factors, forces, and what kind of inner strength could make a person become such an ocean of wisdom, piety, sanctity, and spiritual transcendence in such a short time? This is a miracle of Islam. Another point is the blessed descendants of this great person. The occasion of Surah Al-Kawthar with Fatima Zahra, even if such an occasion had not existed in our hadith collections, is an accurate occasion. There are so many blessings that have been bestowed on the Holy Prophet's household and on each and every one of the Imams. Peace be upon them.
All all of the greatness that Rasulullah saw in his life and his continuation and the continuation of his legacy and his memory is through Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Yes, because Fatima al-Zahra, she is the bond between prophethood and imamah. And if it was not for Fatima, then the continuation of the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and the lineage of Rasulullah would not continue. Fatima al-Zahra, she was the wife of Amir al-Mu'mineen. She is the mother of the imams. And Rasulullah, he says, the imams are 12 after me. And then in one hadith, he says that they are, other than Ali ibn Abi Talib, they are from the children of Fatima. ذُرِّيَّتِي مِنْ صُلْبِ عَلِيٍّ وَفَاطِمَةٍ. My progeny is from Ali and Fatima. So this is the kawthar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah. When they used to make fun of Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Go and praise. Pray to your Lord. وَانْحَرْ. وَانْحَرْ means bring your hand to your, when we do takbirat al-ihram, when we say Allahu Akbar, this is called wanhar. Of course, another definition, it means slaughter and sacrifice. Go and sacrifice, make a sacrifice for your Lord. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. Your enemies, they are the abtar. Meaning your enemies are the ones who will not have a lineage. They are the ones who will not have a continuation. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a lady in an atmosphere that did not respect women, that looked down upon women, that did not regard having a daughter as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that community, the community that Fatima al-Zahra was born in and Rasulullah was growing up in and lived in, they used to, if they have a daughter, they used to be upset. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيَمْسِكْهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when someone in that society, they come to them and they tell them, your wife gave birth to a daughter, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. His face would become black out of anger and upset, and he would become upset. Islam came to change the way women and men are regarded. Islam came and changed that perspective, that false perception that people had, and it needed someone to be an example. And that example was Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam.
Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for choosing this episode of today's special for listening. And till another episode, we leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك. اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.